Welcome to GhostBiz here on the Business Report on Nova 103.5. I'm Gary Struble, and every week I get to talk to the finance ghost who brings us up to date with what's going on in the world of listed assets and international markets and all the intrigue around the big brands that we know so often so little about. So, Ghost, welcome back from Le Mans, where you spend 24 hours watching Zoom Zooms go around the track. We hope you had a great time. Let's start out with MultiChoice, and I suspect MultiChoice is going to be the news for a long time over this next 12 months or so. There's, interestingly, the Canal Plus deal. While that's happening, MultiChoice is still busy doing other things, and there's some interest around a potential tie-up with Sunlum. Tell us more about that.
Hello, Gary. Thanks for having me on the show. As always, indeed, Le Mans was a great experience, and I've had a good couple of days in London as well, just doing meetings and general stuff. Been really great, I think, to just get that international perspective again, because obviously, money can move, and it's important to understand where it's moving and why. Speaking of moving, MultiChoice is not sitting still here, despite this Canal Plus deal, and that's because, you know, the business needs to carry on and needs to carry on doing the right sort of stuff, not just for the sake of Canal Plus, but, you know, if something happens and regulators, for whatever reason, don't allow that transaction to go through or something crazy, you know, MultiChoice still has to build out the best business that it can. And I think they've done what looks like quite a smart transaction with Sunlum, where Sunlum will be acquiring a 60% stake in MultiChoice's insurance business, which is called NMS Insurance Services. To be honest, I don't think I've ever really heard anyone talk about this business, so it's actually quite a nice surprise to see it coming through like this. The upfront payment for the 60% is 1.2 billion rand, and there's a potential earnout here, which could take it up to 1.5 billion. So it's quite a nice cash unlock for MultiChoice, and goodness knows they could do with the money. The recent results at MultiChoice were not good, although I do think that they really did throw the kitchen sink at them to obviously try and encourage shareholders to say, hey, Canal Plus really is the best option going forward. For what it's worth, I think it is probably the best option going forward. But on this insurance deal, you know, the good thing here is that Sunlum will be able to basically bring their expertise in growing out an insurance business. And it's quite a cute little business, actually. In the 2024 financial year, its profit after tax was up 51% to 296 million rand. So the business is doing well even before Sunlum brings their insurance expertise. And obviously here, the appeal for Sunlum is that they are getting access to the DStv customer base. When you are an insurer the size of Sunlum, you know, selling one extra policy doesn't do much for you. You need to actually go out there and do transactions that give you access to substantial groups of people. So I think it's quite a clever deal for both Sunlum and MultiChoice here. It's going to take a while to complete. So there's a lot going on at MultiChoice, but this is good stuff.
I want to spend a moment here, if I may, on your Little Bites section. And for those of you interested, ghostmail.co.za, you can go and subscribe to the newsletters, the various newsletters that the Finance Ghost does put out. And certainly Ghost Bites is my favorite part. Every day you can catch up on what's going on in the markets. But there's a little section they called Little Bites. And this is often just little pieces of news that don't often get analyzed, but are important nonetheless. And then there is Director Dealings. So Ghost, perhaps just give us a second. And I've got an example that I want to talk about here. And this was in yesterday's Ghost Bites. An associate of Johnny Copeland bought shares in Hoskin Consolidated Investments in an off-market transaction to the value of 20 million rand. Now, firstly, an associate, not Johnny Copeland, bought those shares, yet it is being declared. And how material is it, and how much interest should investors be taking in directors' dealings?
Thanks, Gary, for highlighting the little bites. And those little bites are really, really important. I mean, I could honestly go back and kick myself so hard, because before Transaction Capital fell over, one of the executives in one of the divisions unrelated to SA Taxi started selling off shares basically out of nowhere, quite meaningful amounts. And it's obviously because, you know, he had some insight into what was coming. Now, that might sound very unfair, but think about the alternative. If directors are not allowed to trade shares ever, then how do you incentivize them in the company? You're actually then encouraging companies not to list. So there are times in the year where directors are simply not allowed to trade. It's called a closed period. But if the financial information in the market is fresh enough, then they are allowed to trade. They just need to get permission and they have to disclose it. Now, if they don't disclose it, it's a big deal. So we actually saw that whole scandal at Bytes Technology, where the CEO And I think one of his associates had executed trades for like 3 years, completely undisclosed. I've never seen anything like it. It was just this crazy, crazy situation, which obviously led to him losing his job there and a whole settlement and a big disaster. So basically, director dealings are a really useful way to see what is actually going on at a company. So I'm quite careful in how I filter them on the market. So for example, if a director gets share options and then sells a portion of the shares to pay the tax, that doesn't tell you anything at all, actually, about the underlying business and where the share is trading. They needed to sell the shares just to go and settle the tax. So I completely ignore those. Directors sell for lots of reasons. You know, they might just want to unlock some money for a new house or whatever the case may be. So again, just because a director is selling shares doesn't mean you should panic. But interestingly enough, a director buying shares, particularly taking their own money, so over and above share options and everything else, and acquiring shares, is seen by the market as quite a strong signal. And an associate of a director basically means, well, it can be almost anything, right? So it can be a close family member, it can be a trust, it can be a company. Sometimes it can be something a bit left field, actually. And then you have to read quite carefully that it's not some silly situation like, you know, an employee share option trust in which the director happens to be a trustee and then it falls into, you know, being something that is disclosed. So you got to read it carefully. But you can learn a lot from reading the director's dealings stuff on the markets. And I put quite a lot of effort each day into picking out the important ones for little bites. They really shouldn't be ignored ever.
And then lastly, Ghost, while we spend a lot of time looking at things that have already been established, facts that are being reported, your native country, South Africa, has just embarked on a, one could almost say, historic power transition period. The Rand has recovered remarkably over the last few days. And as we get closer and closer to perhaps finding out exactly who is in that cabinet and how the government will work, that may or may not reverse itself. But perhaps just an indication of how you expect things to play out from a global exposure perspective for the country over the next month or two.
Yeah, it's a great question. I feel like it's the weirdest thing. I mean, I've been out of South Africa for a week and it feels like 10 years worth of politics happened in 5 days. So I feel a little bit out of it, actually, in terms of what's happening with this government of national unity. And I'm definitely looking forward to catching up properly on that when I'm back. But from a sentiment perspective, what's happened here is I think South Africa was very much at a crossroads here. And, you know, if this had gone the wrong way, I think the Rand would have really tanked even more and it would have been very bad for the economy, you know, despite what people think around populist politics and socialism and everything else. That is not the route to prosperity. So what we have now is a business-friendly government of national unity. And of course, the Rand has reacted the way it has. Bond auctions have been oversubscribed. Equities are rallying because the market is looking at this saying, okay, you know, some of the risk has now come off for South Africa. Because that is all that a valuation is at the end of the day, is to say there's a stream of cash flows in a given currency and some cash flows are riskier than others. And if a cash flow is too risky, then the valuation that is put on that cash flow will be very modest. If the cash flow is not too risky, then the valuation will be much higher. That is why property prices where I am right now in North London are completely like insane and almost impossible to understand as a South African. But it's because you're buying property in this gazillion year old country that is stable. It works. You know, you don't have crazy things happening here. And so people feel comfortable about putting lots of money in the ground. South Africa, simply not the case. So it's great to see the reaction from the markets. I think you're right in that we need to be careful about inferring too much. These things can reverse if something goes wrong with this government of national unity or otherwise. But South African assets have been a little bit cheap for quite a while now. And so I think for people who have been punting the whole SA Inc. is affordable rhetoric, this is really great. You know, this looks like they've been vindicated, like it's actually happening the way they hoped it would. As I say, I would be careful about inferring too much because, you know, this doesn't take away from the damage that has been done to the South African brand on the global stage. I mean, I've seen it now, talk to people in London, you talk to finance professionals. We've really, really damaged our brand internationally over the 10 years. Like, let's not pretend otherwise. And it's going to take time to fix that. So some cautious optimism. I mean, I remain a very proud South African. I'm looking forward to going home to Cape Town. I'm particularly looking forward to a boerie roll, actually, perhaps more than anything else, and a cheap beer. But yeah, we've got to just be careful with inferring too much. Cautious optimism is probably the right approach.
Thanks. Ghosts might have some supernatural powers, but they're not all powerful. So seeing the future, I know, is tough. But thanks for your thoughts on that. We'll leave it there, guys. Thank you so much. Talk to you again next week. And that's it for this week's edition of Ghost Biz. And I'm Gary Struble. Have a wonderful week.